Hello again, and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for April 2014. This month, the days are getting longer. In fact, there is 2 hours more daylight at the end of the month than at the beginning, but there are still some amazing sights to see at night. Let's start, as always, with the moon. Full moon this month is on the 15th, with the new moon following about 2 weeks later on the 29th. In fact, on the 15th, there will be a total lunar eclipse, which means you may notice some darkening of the moon. A lunar eclipse is when the Earth gets between the Sun and the Moon, and the Earth's shadow is cast across the Moon's surface. So look out on the 15th at about 5:30 in the morning, and you'll just catch the beginning of the event just before the Moon sets. Now onto the planets. Mars is at its best in the south at about 1 o'clock in the morning, and this is when it's at its highest in the sky. You can't miss it, it's the bright red object near the bright star Spica in the constellation Virgo. Its magnitude will be minus 1.5, and a good telescope should reveal some surface features, including perhaps the polar ice caps. Venus will become prominent in the morning, towards the end of the month. Look low down in the east, just before sunrise, at around 5:20 a.m, and you won't miss it. Venus will achieve a brightness or magnitude of minus 4.0 this month. So what does this magnitude business mean? The magnitude scale is used by astronomers to assign a relative brightness to each object. The less positive, or more negative, the value, the brighter the object. The Sun has a magnitude of minus 27, whereas the full moon is minus 11. The brightest star, Sirius, is magnitude minus 1.5, and the pole star Polaris is plus 2. Each unit of magnitude corresponds to about a 2.5 times difference in brightness. Jupiter continues to shine high in the sky this month at magnitude minus 1.2, so still worth a look through binoculars to check out what the moons are doing. And you'll find it in the southwest in the constellation of Gemini. Saturn will become a fine object to observe towards the end of the month, at around 2 a.m. It lies in the constellation Libra, which will be in the south at that time, and the rings will be particularly worth viewing. Mercury will also be visible, but it is incredibly low in the west, just after sunset, at around 9 o'clock in the, towards the end of the month. Probably too low to be worthwhile, though. The Lyrid meteor shower is worth looking at this month, and that's on the 21st and 22nd. The well-placed radiant, the apparent source of the meteors, is directly overhead just before dawn, so there could be a good display, and you could expect between 20 to 100 meteors per hour at best. Look out towards the constellation of Lyra. And now on to constellation watching. There is a nice group of constellations that can be seen while you are watching for meteors. This is the Cygnus family. The cross of Cygnus the Swan is easy to find, and it's virtually directly overhead just before dawn. Around Cygnus are a number of small constellations, such as Lyra, the musical instrument, Delphinus, the dolphin, and Sagitta, the arrow. All these are quite easily seen if you know the shapes of what you're looking for. Lyra is particularly easy, as it contains the very bright star Vega, which is exactly 0.0 magnitude. I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. And don't forget the planisphere, which shows you what's up there at any time and date of the year. And these are available in all good bookshops. Listen out next month for May's highlights. Bye for now.